Terry and Jesse show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, we'd be millionaires. My name is Jesse Romero. Terry will be coming into the studio quickly. A lot to talk about today. As Catholics, let's not forget, let's put things in perspective. What happens in this world, one day this will be over. But the things that happen in the spiritual realm, those things will last forever. This month of August is devoted to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Remember, August is the month to reconsecrate yourselves and your family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Our Lady's heart is so pure and so grace-filled. She loves us with a mother's love and desires for all of us to be united with her Son, Jesus Christ. Little background, remember, this devotion has received new emphasis in this century from the visions given to Sister Lucy Dos Santos back in 1925-1926, the oldest of the visionaries of Fatima. In the visions, Our Lady asked for the practice of five first Saturdays to help make amends for the offenses committed against her and by the blasphemies and ingratitude of men. The practice of the five first Saturdays, it pretty much parallels the devotion of the nine first Fridays to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Amen.
I hear my part.
Jesse, I'm back. You're going to believe it. But folks, we just had a funeral, and that was a small funeral. They needed help. You know, one of the corporal works of mercy? That's right, bury the dead. Guess who was carrying that casket just 30 seconds ago? Yep, it's an honor to do that. I always pray for the poor souls when I do that. And Jess, I have to say to you, this show today is going to be very interesting because not only are we going to be talking about Fauci's confirms it's likely that everyone will need a COVID-19 booster shot, but this just came in like minutes before we went on the air. The CDC was caught red-handed. Already, ready for this? Because they're changing the test thresholds to virtually eliminate new COVID cases among the vaccinated. What was happening, Jesse, is too many vaccinated people were getting COVID. So now the new policy will artificially deflate the breakthrough infections in the vaccinated, while the old rules continue to inflate cases from the numbers of unvaccinated people. What they're doing, Jesse, is they're manipulating the facts.
Yeah, they're going to lie.
Yeah.
They're going to say, oh, if he's got the vaccine,
yep.
If he's got COVID, just write down. Because these are doctors and nurses.
Yeah.
They can do what they want.
Yep.
Write down that he doesn't have a COVID.
And that's sad.
Yeah. So they're completely going to manipulate the numbers because
they don't believe them.
No, at this point, if anybody believes our government and the medical association, you need to have your brain checked.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, we're going to get to Archbishop Vigano's invitation to bishops, priests, and us to pray and fast to defeat the plans of a new world order. When was the last time you heard a bishop talk about a new world order? Wow. Archbishop. So we got lots to do, but just always before we do any of this, we always get the gospel, then we have Sheen. So get some soul food in us, brother. And I like that hat, too. Can you talk about that hat before we do that?
Yeah, real quick. Carthage with the Lendo S. It's Latin. It means Carthage must be destroyed.
Ooh, I get the next. Yeah,
yeah, Rome destroyed Carthage because Carthage was a wicked city.
Like our place.
they would sacrifice babies to the god Molech.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the things that were happening in Carthage are happening in the U.S., and so there's a conference here called Carthage Must Be Destroyed. In other words, liberalism in U.S. must be destroyed. There's a conference here in Phoenix in Scottsdale. Michael Hitchborn will be coming out here August 28th, and that's the name of the conference. Carthage Must Be Destroyed. Who's the new Carthage? Marxism, liberalism, and communism in America. They are the new Marxist baby killers sacrificing to the Moloch demons.
Wow. Well said, Jess. Okay, let's get some gospel in our soul, some soul food from the gospel of today's Mass.
Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Some Pharisees approached Jesus and tested him, saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever? Well, according to the modernists, yes. Yeah.
It's true.
He said in reply, have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate. They said to him, then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her? He said to him, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife unless the marriage is unlawful and marries another commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if that is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. He answered, not all can accept this word, but only those to whom it is granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so, some because they were made by so by others, because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of things just jump out at me real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention that
sure.
this whole conversation that our blessed Lord is having, it's Jesus forbids divorce and remarriage. It's very clear. And what he's doing, he's revoking the lower standard of the old law that permits divorce for non-Levitical laymen in Israel. Jesus is basically abrogating that.
Yeah.
Jesus is restoring marriage to its original intent. And so he goes back to Genesis 2:24, actually to what God the Father said. And so our Lord right here is elevating marriage to a new covenant sacrament. So he's saying the Mosaic law no longer applies. A couple of other things already that jump out at me is where in verse 6 it says God has joined together. That again refers to back to Genesis 2:24,
right,
where Jesus reaffirms that marriage is God's creation. It's not man's invention. It's not the U.S. Supreme Court's invention. It's God's creation. So God forges an indissoluble bond that unites a married couple. So it means that no civil or religious authority has the power to break a sacramentally forged marriage. Also, our Lord says that in verse 10 about, the apostle says, well, I guess some of us should not get married. So the disciples here, basically, they're marveling that Jesus prohibits divorce and remarriage in the new covenant. So he's reversing the long-standing Mosaic permission of the old law. So the disciples, the response is basically incredulous because Jesus is making it very clear that no exceptions are permitted, that husbands and wives bound together by the sacrament, there's no exceptions if it's validly entered into in the sacrament of marriage and both people know that what they're doing, full knowledge and deliberate consent of
yep.
the will. So this new and higher standard leads them to say, to see the comparative superiority of lifelong virginity to the married life. So they understand that some of them may be called the perpetual virginity. And again, both ways are vocations, virginity for the sake of the kingdom mm-hmm. or marriage for the sake of the kingdom. But St. Paul makes it very clear that the higher calling is virginity for the sake of the kingdom.
And Jesse, that fits right in because Dr. Sandoval held a conference over at the chapel last weekend on marriage and sex and gave a really great talks, many of the talks on theology of the body. It was fantastic. And he's going to be calling in to talk a little bit. And I'm going to play a little clip of what he had to say over the weekend because I'm so excited about what he did over the weekend that I'm encouraging people to get the series, get it to their parish for marriage prep. Because right now, well, we won't go into it, but when Jesse and Anita got married, he's told it on the air how poorly formed it was, just the opposite of what...
The guy's in prison.
Yeah, Father, so there you go.
I'll just say it, Father David Miller.
Yeah, he's in prison for... And then what we need is good formation for our young people. Hey, I want to get into Fulton Sheen on a quick one, but and Dr. Sandoval will turn a little bit later. Full Sheen ahead for Bishop Sheen. It's a quick one, Jess. He says, if the new crime be to believe in God, let us all be criminals. You know what, Jess? If the culture of that we're living in is opposed to God's laws, then I'm a criminal because I believe in God's laws. That's simple as that. So Fulton Sheen said that 50, 60, 80 years ago. It's true today.
Yeah, all right. Nothing's changed.
No, and just one more quick note about that conference. If people go to our website, vmpr.org, you can download that conference, I believe, if they're correct in telling me that. Yes, a thumbs up. So they can get that conference because it was outstanding. The content was stellar on marriage. And you're going to find out why because later in the show, Dr. Sandoval is going to call in and talk a little bit about the conference on marriage. And you can also call 877-526-2151. Again, we're going to come back and talk about Dr. Fauci is confirming it's likely, it's inevitable that everyone will need a COVID-19 booster shot. Let me just throw something out. $33 billion were going to these companies that are putting out these so-called vaccines. And Dr. Fauci has an interest in that. In other words, he makes money every time somebody gets a shot. So why wouldn't he say everybody's going to need it? It's good for his pocketbook. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
I follow the money, folks, here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay with us, family. We'll have more for you and your family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Does this surprise you that Dr. Fauci confirms it's likely inevitable everyone will need a COVID-19 booster shot?
Yeah.
This guy is a little Napoleon Bonaparte. The White House COVID-19 advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said that it is likely and inevitable that people will need to get the COVID-19 vaccine booster shot, coming as the Center for Disease Control is scheduled to meet on Friday to discuss the possibility of giving additional doses to certain individuals. So they'll be discussing, they're discussing it right now as we speak.
Yep.
Dr. Fauci told CBS News on Thursday, he said it's likely that will happen at some time in the future. When he was asked if everyone will need a booster shot in the future. Several days earlier, he and other officials said the booster shots will only be recommended for immunocompromised individuals. So these are his own words. He says, Fauci says, when it does get to a certain level, we will be prepared to give boosters to those people. But from what you just said a moment ago,
yeah,
it is imminent that we will be giving it to immune compromised individuals,
oh, yeah,
he added.
Yeah.
So he's appearing to suggest that he shifted the goalpost on the booster shots because COVID-19 data is being followed in real time. And in a separate interview on Thursday with NBC News, Dr. Fauci further added, he said this, quote, inevitably, there will be a time when we will have to give boosts to the general population.
Unbelievable.
So, Terry, they're wetting the ground. They're getting us ready for this universal vaccination.
And Jesse, that's why they're changing the way they test us. I mean, his remarks said that the Delta COVID-19 variant can be transmitted among vaccinated people, creating confusion about whether vaccination is an effective means of dealing with the pandemic. Last month, the CDC issued some recommendations based on a study. But here's the point, Jesse. They want to make sure that the way they want to change the policy is that if you're vaccinated, when we test you for another strain of the virus, you're not going to come up having it, even though you have it, because it looks bad that we give you this vaccination shot. You're supposed to have immunity. And now they're saying it was just last week down to 40%, 50%. When it was first came out, it was 96%. Here's what's happening, Jesse. They're trying to do damage control right now. Because the vaccine was not effective, they're going to do whatever they can to try and persuade us to spend more money, like billions and billions of more dollars on vaccines that goes into their pocket. And I believe that Dr. Fauci has a interest, from what I read, with this vaccine, that he's making money. So for, of course, let's say you sold cars, Jesse, and you're out there saying, you know, everybody needs a car. Yeah. And they need to buy it right here. I'm the only one that you can get it from. Of course you're going to say that. You know why? You own the cars. You make the money. So I believe that this is a conflict of interest for this. That's my point.
Yeah, last Thursday, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, told reporters that drug regulators are working with Pfizer and Moderna to allow boosters for vulnerable people, such as those with compromised immune systems.
Right.
Dr. Rochelle from the CDC also said an additional dose could help increase protection for these individuals, which is especially important as the Delta variant spread. At this time, only certain immune compromised individuals may need an additional dose, close quote. A spokesman for the FDA, which would authorize booster shots, told the Epoch Times in an email, quote, the FDA is closely monitoring data as it becomes available from studies administering an additional dose of the authorized COVID-19 vaccines to immunocompromised individuals. The agency, along with the CDC, is evaluating potential options on this issue and will share information in the near future, close quote. So the remarks come as Dr. Fauci and Dr. Walensky and other officials have said the Delta COVID-19 variant can be transmitted among vaccinated people, creating confusion about whether vaccination is an effective means of dealing with the pandemic. Last month, the CDC issued a recommendation based on a study in Cape Cod that found a significant number of vaccinated individuals could transmit the virus, that Americans in high transmission areas wear masks. But Fauci told NBC that the vaccines, quote, are still doing what you originally want them to do, to keep you out of the hospital, to prevent you from getting seriously ill, close quote. Meanwhile, a new study from the Mayo Clinic found that the Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 shots, which use mRNA technology, saw a decline in effectiveness in July. And Moderna's vaccine dropped to 76%, the report found, while Pfizer's dropped to a mere 42%.
That's right. That's right.
The study didn't evaluate the effectiveness of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which uses different technology. So while both the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines strongly protect against infection and severe disease, the researchers also wrote that, quote, there are differences in their real-world effectiveness relative to each other and relative to prior months of the pandemic, close quote. So according to a draft agenda, the CDC's advisory panel is scheduled to meet on booster shots at around 11 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
COVID-19 is the disease caused by the CCP, Communist Chinese Party virus.
And Jesse, I'm going to repeat again and again that the CDC was caught red-handed because they're changing the test thresholds to virtually eliminate new COVID cases among the vaccinated people. This, to me, is manipulation at its worst case. And I got to think, Jesse, this is the same medical field that kills unborn babies. Okay? So, I mean, am I surprised that they'll lie, cheat?
And does sex reassignment.
And does sex reassignment. All that baloney. So what makes you think they're going to give us the real data on this? I just think we can't trust any of these people, Jesse, as far as we can throw them. And again, I'm going to continue to put whatever information I can get on this so that people will know the facts and not fiction.
Yeah, Terry, you know, if you go back to the 40s, there was a time when we had what's called the Nuremberg Trials between 1945 and 1949. So it was 4 years.
Sure.
And these were military tribunals that were called to try Nazi Germany leaders after the war. And guess what? Many of the people that were tried at the Nuremberg Trials were doctors.
That's right.
Yes. It wasn't just the officers for the Nazi regime that was put on trial. It was also doctors. As a matter of fact, 23 doctors were put to trial at the Nuremberg trials. Why? Again, they were doing things that were unethical. These German physicians, they were part. 23 German physicians participated in programs to, like, for example, euthanize persons that were, you know, in their custody. That they basically deemed were unworthy of life, like the mentally retarded, the mentally ill, or the physically disabled. They also conducted forced experiments on concentration camp prisoners without their consent. And so, Terry, these doctors were found guilty. Seven of them were executed by the Nuremberg courts. But what's happening right now, Terry, is it smells to me like the Nuremberg doctors.
Yeah.
they want to do things that are unethical, and they're just trying to hide behind the label of science and medicine.
Yeah. Nothing new under the sun, as the Bible says, Jesse. This is repeating itself again. And, you know, people have asked, well, how could all the good people in Germany see what was going on in those concentration camps and not say a word? For the same reason we can say nothing right now. Everybody's comfortable. As long as you give me my food, I get to go to do my entertainment, and there's people suffering like this, it doesn't affect me. It's a selfish me, myself, and I culture. So definitely, but I'm asking all of us concerned Christians, Catholics and Protestants, and people of goodwill to say, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes on. This is not right, and we're not going to stand for it. I think the pushback has to come, and while we're talking, I'm getting several more people texting me for religious exemptions for the vaccine, and I tell people over and over again, go to our website, go to vmpr.org, download the paper that I'll sign, or you can have your priest sign for it. You don't even need me to sign for it. Just state it that you object morally to this. Remember, I read this, Jesse, yesterday, you know, that you're just a member of the Catholic Church. You affirm that I have a religious objection to the origins of this current available coronavirus vaccine, specifically due to the unethical nature in which the vaccines were tested, manufactured using tissue cells lines from previous abortions. I respect this decision to decline in vaccine and affirm that this is in accordance with the Catholic teachings of the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception. Just write that out, sign it, give it to your employer. You have a moral objection. We have religious freedom in this country, and if we don't push for it, we're going to lose it. That's my take, Jess.
That's right. Some people ask me, Jess, so are you anti-vax? And my response is, no, I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti-vax mandate.
Exactly. Freedom.
I'm not anti-vax.
If you want to do it.
Anti-vax mandate.
Well said.
Whatever happened to the liberal mantra, my body, my choice? Guess what? That argument cuts both ways. I could use that argument as well.
Yep.
What we're watching right now, Terry,
yeah,
is the unethical Tuskegee experiment.
There you go.
That's being done on an international scale.
You got it.
That's what's happening right now.
Amen.
And for those people that, and here's my, essentially why I would not get the vaccines. Why? As a Catholic,
yep,
I believe that the fetal cells used either in testing or formulating any of the vaccines is unethical.
Yep.
And it perpetuates and incentivizes the abortion industry. Yep. That's simple.
It's simple. It's simple. And again, who wants to be participating in that? And again, I realize the church's teaching is that if you're in extraordinary circumstances, where it's a pandemic, hey, wait a minute, less than 1% of the people die from the COVID-19, and we're asking to get vaccinated, and we say this is essential for us to have it, when we know we can treat the COVID-19 correctly without any vaccine and people will survive and get better. I just think that it's an overkill. And I believe, Jesse, I'm going to be honest with you. This is demonic what's going on in our country.
Amen.
Because it's taking life and treating it as it's not any value. And that's a problem. But when we come back, Jess, Dr. Sandoval, I hope he'll be calling in to talk about the marriage seminar that we did over the weekend. Also, we got Archbishop Vigano's invitation to all of us to make reparation for the outrageous sins committed in not only the world, but in our church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
It's our sacred duty to unite ourselves to the spiritual battle, aligning ourselves without hesitation under the banners of Christ our King and Mary our Queen.
Hey, Jess, let me just jump in. I got a notice that Dr. Sandoval just called in. I'm going to take that, and then we'll get right into Bishop Vigano's invitation. Yep. Dr. Sandoval, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, Terry and Jesse, how you guys doing?
We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. But hey, Doctor, last weekend, I was so impressed. I don't normally get to listen to all the talks at a conference, but I listened to probably 90% of them. And it was outstanding, the content, the delivery. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit? Well, actually, you know, before you do that, I'm going to ask my engineer, who's our backup engineer, to play a clip from the conference, and then let's have you comment on that. Mr. Engineer, play that.
You know, sometimes we feel guilty because I do feel the light in it, but I'm taught that I'm not supposed to, which is not true. That's a big fallacy. If we think that as Catholics we're not supposed to delight in sex, we're missing the point.
Mm-hmm. Right?
God made that as, and think about it this way, he associated delight with us sharing in creation with him, which tells me that God was pretty delighted when he made us and when he made creation. He's probably letting us know, it's pretty awesome, it feels really good to create, and I'm going to have you share in that with me. So the guilt component comes from all the negativity that we associate with sex, or all the downfall that comes with it after our fall when we defile it.
Dr. Sandoval, I thought that was a key point you were making, because we have a worldly view of sex, and then we have a what I call supernatural view of sex. Can you share a little bit more why you said that today or at the conference?
You know, it really comes down to whenever I hear couples talking about sex, or whenever we want to discuss it as Catholics, whether among ourselves or with our children,
sure,
it seems like there's an element of shame. And we got to remember that shame came from the fall. When Adam and Eve fell, remember, all of a sudden they realized they were naked.
Amen.
And they felt shame, and they had to cover themselves up. And that is a result of the fall. But Christ always asks us to rise above the fall, to get closer to him, and realize and reinstate sexuality and sex in marriage, obviously, as a sacrament, to what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be delightful. It's supposed to be pleasurable. God made it that way, and it was not by accident. But we have to recognize that there's nothing dirty about that, because that's the pleasure and actually the prayer between a man and a wife.
Well said. And Dr. Sandoval, the reason I'm asking people to download the talks, the whole conference, is because I think it's going to help not only future people getting married, but those who have been married 30, 40, 50 years are going to be refreshed by hearing some of the things you had to say. And one particular book that I think a lot of people are not familiar with, because as you were reading from the scriptures, they were going, where's that in the Bible? I heard someone say that. So why don't you share a little bit about that book that applies so much to married couples?
So that's a great point. And actually, my talk was a lot more for, I mean, it is there for people who plan to get married, and it's a good idea of how to think about sex in the future when you are married.
Sure.
But really, the talk really applies a lot more to us married couples already, because
right,
we forget that is part of our prayer of marriage. We think, you know, after years, people are no longer intimate. And that's not true.
Nope.
We're supposed to continue that.
That's right.
The book in the Bible that you're referring to is called The Song of Songs. And if you read that book, it is all about the marriage bed.
Amen.
And it is detailed, but in a beautiful, holy way, talking about our bodies, talking about our desire for each other within marriage,
mm-hmm,
and talking about how beautiful it is to be married and to experience that physical intimacy as part of the marriage covenant.
Well said. And again, you had my wife there on the theology of the body, speaking of St. John Paul II. You also had an actress also speaking at the conference. So, I mean, it was a full day of conference talks, all geared to inspire people, and I say to fall deep in love with Jesus and his church. But you had such good insights on the challenges of marriage. In other words, some of the problems people have, whether it's lack of communications or just treating your spouse improperly. And I think you gave a lot of great advice. Could you give a couple examples, some wingers I want people to get, even if they don't get the conference set, but I want them to go home with something that they probably have never heard before?
Sure. You know, one of the things is when we're married, we forget that we are still people. Mm-hmm. And as we grow older, we're going to mature and change. And sometimes we have insecurities, even with our spouse, we have insecurities about our bodies, how we look, how our bodies have changed. And, you know, we sometimes feel our spouse might not like me anymore. They might find somebody else more interesting. There are other challenges in marriage that don't stop. There's addiction. Mm-hmm. There's mental health issues that can happen. And this can all affect intimacy.
Yes.
And it can affect our relationship in the wedding bed as we're praying with our bodies is the way God wanted us to. So these are issues that need to be addressed and talked about. I know that this conference, we gave some general topics, and it was really a general talk. I know in future conferences, if any of our listeners give us some thoughts or ideas of what they would like to hear, we can get into more detail and we can get into more interesting topics that might be maybe for adults only or married couples only.
Sure.
As they experience that. Because we got to remember our marriage and our intimacy continues to evolve as we get married. It doesn't stay stagnant.
Right.
I'm not the same when I'm 40 or 50 than I was when I'm 20.
Sure.
And that means that did we grow together in that direction? Is that something that's part of our lives? The other thing that was important is we got to remember this, and why are we talking about this? Because we have to teach this to our future generations, and however I treat my spouse and however my spouse treats me, that's how our sons and daughters are going to view the image of marriage, the image of intimacy and sex. And when it's their turn to pick a partner, that's what's going to be in their minds. That's biologically, neurologically, that's what the neurons get used to. Those are the connections we make, and all of a sudden the brain gets used to, this is the way I'm supposed to be loved. And that's why we repeat that cycle, hopefully a positive one if we had positive examples. But this is why I also see a lot of people in the pitfalls of, you know, my dad was alcoholic and I swore I was never going to fall into that trap. But I married a man and he was alcoholic too. We got a divorce and I remarried and he was another alcoholic. And why does this happen? Because our brains are trained to love our parents. And if our parents taught us a certain way, we're naturally going to be drawn to that. And we really need to learn how to break that cycle.
Awesome.
Through either positivity in our other relationships or being able to take a step back and see what didn't work for our parents, but how can we love them anyway? And that way, as we make relationships, we meet people, we hopefully we'll have a long, fruitful, positive, intimate life that's reflective of our marriage life.
Wow. And, you know, Dr. Sandoval beautifully stated, one thing you did say too, the great thing you can do is love, as husbands love our wives. Our kids need to know that dad really, really is in love with mom and vice versa. I know you said that several times at the conference. And I just want to encourage people to go to vmpr.org to download the conference or call us at 877-526-2151. I want to make sure we do this every year now, an annual conference for marriage. Jess, your thoughts?
Yeah, Lewis is saying something here that I've heard Scott Hahn say 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
He says that when you got married
yeah.
in the Catholic Church,
sure.
you made a covenant. You entered into a covenant relationship with God and your spouse. Now, every time you come together in intimacy, Dr. Scott Hahn says, he says that's called renewing the covenant.
Amen.
That's called renewing the covenant. In other words, this is why St. Paul talks about that you make each other holy. How do you make the other person holy? In the renewal of the covenant and the one flesh union between a husband and a wife, God comes into the picture. You're calling down God upon that act. Now, on the other hand, for example, a person in fornication, a person buying a prostitute or, you know, a homosexual act, that doesn't call God. In fact, that mortal sin, it invites demons to surround the act. So the act of intimacy done properly either calls God into the bedroom, literally, and you're conferring grace upon your spouse,
mm-hmm.
or if the act is unclean, again, fornication or with a prostitute, whatever, you are literally inviting demons into the bedroom during the act. That's
wow.
Yeah.
Well said. Well, Dr. Sandoval, thanks for taking time. And I want to give one more plug to your show on Thursdays. Tell us a little bit about your show that you do once a week for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Sure. So I was lucky enough to have you guys invite me to do a show, and it's just a pleasure to be able to talk about the faith. And really, we talk about a variety of topics. It's the Dr. Luis Sandoval Show. We talk about how we can think Catholic in order to live Catholic, in order to be Catholic. And that involves all areas of being Catholic, whether it be sexuality and our spouses and marriage, whether it be depression and anxiety, and what does that mean for us as Catholics? Can I still be a good Catholic and make it to heaven? We talk about the lives of saints and how the saints suffered from mental illness. We talk about anybody struggling through physical illnesses. We have Cherie Ballinger on our show, who the producer of Focus Wade. She came on my show, and we talked about traumatic brain injury because she experienced a really devastating accident when she's come back from miraculously. And she honestly attributes that to her devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes.
Awesome.
So we talk about always an interaction and an interplay between our spirituality, our physical health, our mental health. And it all goes hand in hand. So it's always hopefully riveting topics. Right now, we're going to be talking about Our Lady of Sorrows, the promises associated with that,
right,
and how that can change our lives for the better in a positive way to be joyful people and be full of mental health and physical health.
Wow. Well, I love it. And, you know, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. So we need to be healthy in all areas, not just our mental health, but our spiritual health. And I think Dr. Sandoval covers both of those really well. So I want to encourage people to tune in after the Terry and Jesse Show every Thursday here on VMPR. If you can't get it on your station, just go to our website and download our what we call an app. It's a free app on your phone, and you can get that app by going to vmpr.org and downloading it. Then you can hear any of the shows at any time. Dr. Sandoval, thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Absolutely.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
God bless. Bye-bye now. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. We're going to talk back about the Archbishop Viganò invitation that Jesse just started to talk about. Wow, an hour went by pretty quick here, and we'll be back with more family to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hey, Jess, just a quick note. We got one of our listeners in Fresno. The Diocese of Fresno, the bishop put on the diocese website, will be issuing religious exemption letters if requested against the jab. Praise God.
That's good
news. More and more bishops are standing. You know what, Jess? This is what we do last night. We prayed for all those bishops and priests for 2 hours on our knees in front of the church.
What's his Fresno bishop's name?
He's from L.A.
It'll come. Somebody in Texas right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good news, Terry.
Yeah,
good
it
news.
Is. So let's get into Archbishop Viganò.
Well, he's calling people. He's inviting bishops and priests to pray and fast to defeat the plans of the New World Order, which is the Great Reset, which is basically, universal communism. Here's what he says. He says, in this moment of very serious spiritual and material crisis,
Bishop Brennan,
Bishop Brennan, that's it.
Yep.
In which the public authorities support the plans of the New World Order, and the shepherds are silent accomplices in the face of the destruction of society and of the Church of Christ herself. It is our sacred duty to unite ourselves to the spiritual battle, aligning ourselves without hesitation under the banners of Christ our King and Mary our Queen. Archbishop Viganò writes, the Lord has given to bishops and priests the power to cast out demons in his name. Already on Holy Saturday of 2020, many of them welcome my appeal with generosity and a supernatural spirit. Because he did this 2 years ago.
I remember.
Viganò.
Yep.
Today I intend to renew this appeal. I ask therefore my venerable brothers in the episcopate and priesthood to dedicate the vigil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary to prayer and fasting and to reciting the Pope Leo XIII, Chapter 3, Ritual Romano from the Rite of Exorcism against apostate angels at the hour of 12 noon in Rome. This sacramental, because the exorcism prayer is a sacramental, will be placed under the mantle of the most fearful adversary of the infernal powers, so that the choral prayer of the ministers of God will remove from the church and the world the snares of the enemy of mankind today, which today threatens society, families, and individuals, and in a particular way, the faithful of Christ. The secularized world.
This is a powerful paragraph. Repeat, yes. Go ahead.
The secularized world.
Yep, along.
And along with it, not a few shepherds will be able to mock this appeal and the exorcism itself, considering it the legacy of a past to be canceled along with the faith of our fathers. But we know well that, although we are unworthy sinners, a power has been given to us by our Lord which terrorizes the gates of hell and its servants. In the silence and fasting which prepares us for the feast of the Assumption of the Queen of Heaven, let us invoke the Most Holy Virgin, terrible as an army set in battle array, Song of Solomon chapter
6. Exactly.
And St. Michael the Archangel, the patron of the Holy Church, and the Prince of the Heavenly Host, signed Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop. Here's something interesting, Terry.
Tell me, Jesse.
He knows that we find an... Archbishop Vigano understands that we're fighting an ancient foe, and so he knows that the way the church fights this ancient foe, we must resort to ancient weapons.
And you know, Jesse, I'm going to be honest with you. I hear some bishops, you know, not even want to talk about the devil, and rather he even exists. And there's one reason why we've been getting our, you know what, kicked here in the church is because we haven't had a good, sound theology on the demonic. We've actually felt, I mean, in certain sections of the church, they're like, well, the devil, well, that's a figment of your imagination. Well, think about a war. When you fight a battle with somebody, if you don't think your opponent is out there and you're just getting cleaned out every time, you're going to lose every time. And I think now Archbishop Vigano is waking up our church to say, wait a minute, there is a devil and there's a battle that's been going on. And we've been getting our, you know what, kicked for about 60 years, especially since the 1960s when we just kind of let everything go away. And we just said, oh, the devil, that's just that, you know, angels. Oh, well, that's not really real. And what's happened is Archbishop Vigano is saying to us, wake up. You got to realize that the devil is out and he's a roaring lion. It's just what scripture says. And now we're starting to wake up to say, wow, we better get our act together. That's how I see it, Jess.
Yes, the prayer that he's asking the bishops and certain priests to use,
yes,
is called the exorcism against Satan and fallen
angels. Well, right
angels.
To the top. Oof.
Yeah, it was written by Pope Leo XIII over 100 years ago.
Wow.
And that prayer, there's a caveat. It can only be used by bishops as well as priests who have the authorization from their bishop. Okay, this is a very powerful prayer. You can't be playing with it.
No.
This is the church's teaching right now. It can only be used, that prayer, by a bishop or a priest with the permission of the bishop. So it's a restricted prayer.
Yes,
it's part of chapter 3, to be exact, of the rite of exorcism,
mm-hmm.
and it would be, for example, Terry, and people say, well, why can't I say that prayer?
Yeah,
and why is it restricted to priests and bishops and not lay people? Well, it would be, for example, like the Eucharistic prayers in the liturgical rubrics. Those prayers, the Eucharistic prayers, are embedded into the rubrics for the priest and bishops alone. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you start going up there and standing next to Father saying, okay, Father, I'll do this with you, and me will do it. No. It's not proper for the laity to act like a priest or to be doing these prayers that only a priest can do. And the same applies with this exorcism against Satan and the fallen angels written by Pope Leo XIII.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this prayer invokes Saint Michael. It's a long form Saint Michael prayer. And just to show you the power of St. Michael,
mm-hmm.
The Russian Orthodox Church calls St. Michael the chief commander.
Yep.
The Eastern Orthodox Church calls St. Michael the supreme commander of the angels. The Greek Orthodox Church calls St. Michael the highest general of the army of angels. And the Latin Rite, that's us, we call St. Michael the leader of the army of God. Again, this prayer, when demons hear a bishop or a priest with permission of the bishop saying the Pope Leo XIII prayer, They hear cannons being fired
yep.
from a Navy ship. And that's what they hear.
That's right, Jesse. And you know, one of the great, we talk about the priesthood, and we pray for them every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. We just celebrated John Vianney's feast day. Here's what he said, that every priest is called to be a Eucharistic priest with every fiber of his being. Mm. The Holy Cure of ours was devoted to the Blessed Sacrament with most intense passion and charity. The tabernacle was like an irresistible magnet, that's a good analogy, from which a divine force drew him to his Eucharistic Lord. When people saw him offering Mass, how he prayed, how he moved, how he genuflected, he stirred up in a most contagious way the faithful reverence and love of Christ hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. He told his parishioners most naturally, "He is the one who has loved us so much. Why shouldn't we love him in return?" The reason I read this is because this is what we need our priests to lead us at Mass. We talk about lack of reverence. The priest is where it leads the holy priest, holy people. So that's why I say we need to pray that we have a renewal in the priesthood, that they really understand their role as followers of Christ and as a persona Christi, as the person of Christ. Because I believe that when the priesthood here is holy, and it's not holy right now, look at all the problems we're having. But when it's holy, the people will be holy. That's why we need to pray for them.
Yeah. Let me give you kind of a military analogy of the way prayer works.
Good.
Basic Catholic prayer, what I pray, Terry prays, lay people.
Yeah.
It's comparable to what we would call small arms and light weapons, okay?
Yeah.
In other words, the portable weapons used by the infantrymen in the military, the small arms and light arms, they're very effective, especially when used by infantrymen standing side by side against the enemy. Now, when you enter now into Catholic deliverance prayers, like the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, the Auxilium Christianorum, now these are like heavy artillery military weapons because they're built to launch munitions far beyond the range and power of infantry weapons. Catholic deliverance prayers are like heavy artillery weapons, and they were invented to focus on the ability to breach defensive walls of the enemy and fortifications during sieges.
I love it.
So Catholic deliverance prayers are artillery weapons. They have a high flash radius. Demons can see them from very far away. And so Catholic deliverance prayers, it's very dangerous to do them if you're in mortal sin, because they have a high flash radius and demons know you're praying them. Now you move on to the highest form of prayer. Bishops or priests doing the rite of exorcism, chapter 3. That's like carpet bombing to demons. Carpet bombing is when the military, that's when they're known to saturate an area with large bombardment in continual progressive manner to inflict damage in every part of a selected area of the land. When a priest or a bishop does this prayer, this is what demons see landing. It's carpet bombing. There's images of explosions covering an area in the way carpet covers the floor. It's very effective, and it's probably the most powerful arsenal that we have when it comes to prayer outside of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, of course.
Awesome. Jesse, I stand corrected. I got another text. They are not, and the Diocese of Fresno will not be issuing religious exemptions.
No. Oh, no.
So I'll tell you what, folks, we will. Here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio, just go to our website, vmpr.org. I'm signing away, baby. Why? Because we should have a right for religious freedom. We need to stand up. Yes, are we going to take a cross for that? Of course, we're going to pay a price for standing up for Jesus and standing up for our religious rights. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, I just saw my wife come in with a Bible with the Barbers. We are going to be talking about the readings on marriage that we just did earlier in our show, and much more with a scriptural, biblical worldview of marriage, which is really needed today. Hey, Jess, I know you're going to be traveling Monday. We've got Steve Ray coming in, but you'll be back on Tuesday with us from
Hawaii.
Yeah, I'll
be back all week after
you're going to be
right.
Doing some mission work. Keep it up. And Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
Live in the state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. And remember what St. Peter, the first pope, tells us: flee this corrupt generation. Flee this corrupt generation. Mm. And St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer.
Well said. Again, I want to thank everybody who supports Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Go to our website, vmpr.org, or call us at 877-526-2151. Up next, Bible with the Barbers, a biblical worldview on marriage. Can't beat that. Boy, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. Thanks again for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you and your family.